This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about Goose Island, 312 Day, talk about Alarmist Brewing, and then we get into a bunch of beer news at the end of the show. This episode is running long, so be sure to grab yourself a beer, and let's get into it. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And 312 Day is approaching.
Oh, man. You're right.
Yeah.
I forgot. We could talk about all the 312 events.
Yeah. I think we'll record again before 312 Day.
No, 312 Day is Monday.
Monday, okay.
Oh, man. So we should probably talk about the 312 events before our show's over.
Right. So it's approaching, so get ready. I haven't been to the store, so I haven't seen if any of those dry hop 312 cans are out.
Yes.
Have you seen them?
I did. Okay. No, I haven't seen them out. They were at that thing I went to this week.
Okay, so yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Maybe I'll try to pick up some cans if I'm out, and we'll drink them on Tuesday, even though it'll be 3/13 day.
It'll be 3/13 day.
So that's fine, you know. but that's not what we're drinking on this week's episode. We're drinking some of the Son of Juice.
Man, I think we both got excited about this in the pre-show. This is Maplewood, 4-pack tall boys. This is their American Pale Ale. Mm-hmm.
We have had this beer on the podcast before at some point. But yeah, it's been a little while since I've dived into it.
And when I think Charlatan, I think the restaurant, the Charlatan on Chicago Ave.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This isn't Son of Juice. This is Charleston.
Yeah, Charlatan. Yeah.
Son of Juice is the hazy.
Yeah.
I think when I think Maplewood, I think Son of Juice now.
Son of Juice is great. Husky Pants, which is the double Son of Juice, is also really good.
Okay.
And there's a portly fellow. I wonder if it's one of the dudes that work there. There's this little chubby kid on the bottle.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I think when we first had this beer, we drank it in bottles.
I think you're right.
In a bottle.
Yeah.
Like a large format bottle. So, nice.
Yeah.
We've had Son of Juice in cans on the show.
I met these guys once at a Kaiser Tiger for in their patio area for a Pilsner Kell event. And he gave me a bottle of one of those beers. It was probably either Son of Juice or this one.
Okay.
I met him there. We've had it on a show, and I've been a fan ever since.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool.
Cool. So we'll have no problem knocking back these cans here throughout this show.
Yeah, man, this has like 5 different grains in it, 4 different hops, and it's just what you want out of life.
Yeah.
In this can, and this is good.
Yeah, 6.1%. It's easy drinking. I feel like this could be my summer beer. Like, could be my go-to summer beer now.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Well, as we're drinking on this, we touched on that 312 event a little bit. You went
to.
Or it wasn't really a 312 event. They just happened to have 312.
Happened to be from the guys who made 312. Yeah. And we'll get into that real quick here. Oh, we missed a couple of events last week, man. We missed Nia Living Ales that happened over the weekend.
Wait, it did?
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, damn, how did we miss that?
I didn't even. Nothing.
Nothing. I was surprised. I tried to scrub for stuff. I don't remember seeing anything.
I didn't see it from anyone I follow on Facebook, anyone I follow on Twitter. Usually friends buy tickets and they go, so it's usually mentioned.
Yeah, at a Bottom Lounge this weekend. Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm like, damn, we missed this. I wonder if Brad knew about this. Yeah,
no,
we missed that.
That's not good for them that we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
If we didn't know, that means nobody was probably there.
And just the brewers and their friends. That was about it, maybe.
Man, that's crazy because I was ran into some other beer people over the weekend and a couple brewers, and nothing was mentioned. Like, oh, yeah, we had that over at Night of the Living Ales, or we had that on.
Yeah, and that's a good party, too. I went to one of those at Goose Wrigleyville once in the back there, where they don't use the back for anything but that party. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Goose Wrigleyville.
That's great. What?
And we missed that EAA, the craft brewers in the airplane hangar up in Oshkosh, that happened this weekend too.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder how that went, because it's like a museum of airplanes, mm-hmm. and it's located inside of an airplane hangar.
Yeah,
that sounded pretty cool.
I feel like I remember you mentioning that a while ago, or talking about it, or hearing something about that. So.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, man. So I went to the Goose Island Barrel Warehouse.
Yeah.
One of four Goose Islands. There's one in United Center.
Okay. Yeah.
And this was for, it wasn't a Goose event. It was a Fisk and Company pop-up dinner. So
who's Fisk?
Fisk and Company is a rebrand. This is the former Southwater Kitchen, which is on Wabash, 225 Wabash. That sounds like it's River North, or it's the Loop. It's downtown somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the Hotel Monaco downtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, but they... they're debuting. They got a chef from Washington, D.C., and it's they're revamping their concept. And, you know, that's why I love Chicago, man. I mean, you know, we have this show about Chicago every week, and we love the breweries that are popping up, obviously. We like the scene. But one of the things I like is that these restaurants are always coming and going. Like, you'll never eat and drink your way through the whole city because, you know, if restaurants are closing because it's hard to have a restaurant, or in this case, you know, they're reconcepting. So if you've been and you go this time, it'll be something else.
Right. You know? I feel like that. There was a time where I was like trying new restaurants all the time and like on top of ones opening, and then just like beer, it peaked, or I just like, I ran out of steam even. So yeah, there's just so many restaurants and so many spots open. So that's cool.
Yeah. So
how was the food?
Man, this was pretty good. So it was a 5-course dinner with, there are mussels and beer bar.
Okay.
Yeah. So the chef was there, and then they had a bunch of...
That sounds like a gym. Sounds what? Like a good gym name, like mussels and beer. Like we're a yeah. bar, we're a gym bar.
It was good, man. It was good. It's the only party I've been to where they offer you like a cute little to-go bag of... like
not mussels.
No, it's like breading,
like okay. Like pieces of bread,
like house made breading, like for you to deep fry stuff in, like a cornmeal
okay.
house mix of you okay. know batter.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, to go. So oh, let's run through the beers, man, that we had. Let's see. God damn it, Brad.
So 312, dry hop. Yes. 312.
Dry hop 312.
Uh-huh. How was that?
Oh, it was good. You know, safe. It's safe. It kind of reminds you of this, but maybe just the volume turned down a little bit, not okay. as amped up.
Okay.
I think there was some conversation amongst, like, brewing staff about, nah, man, you got to go all in. You got to make this shit cloudy, hoppy as fuck. Like, you got to get it. But then, you know, this is Goose. They're in all 50 states. Their approach is, listen, this is going to be dry hopped, but it's going to be this way. It's not going to be... like
it's not gonna be different. It's the same, just dry hopped.
Yeah, it's not gonna be like super. I thought it was gonna be like super cloudy, super hoppy, you know. And it's hoppier than 312.
Yeah, could you get the same effect just throwing some fresh hops into your like opening up a can of 312 and, you know, people do that when you get some fresh hops. That's you true. Rub them together.
Yeah.
Get them in there.
I thought it was really pleasant. I thought it was a pleasant beer.
I gotta say, that's just like, just do that. But
just do that. Just get a, just get a French press.
Yeah, just run it through a Radler or French press.
This is Radler through 312 Randalized.
Randalized. Yeah. They're giving Goose like no credit here for this beer.
It's good, and I'm excited that they're doing it. You know, because, you know, I've always wondered what the attitude is around the office for 312 Day. Because we look at 312 as drink, you know, as full-time drinkers, basically. We look at 312 where it's just like, okay, whatever, right?
Right. It's safe, right? As you said before, yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder how the folks there look at it. Mm-hmm. But that's cool. The dry hop 312. Sophie, Old Man Grumpy, Matilda, and Prop 2014.
Man.
Those were the drinks.
You, like, could not get enough Bourbon County.
Dude, I'm here for the prop. There was a lady from the Tribune there, and she left before they were serving prop. I'm like, I guess we're all out here doing what we got to do, but...
So you took hers?
I'm like, you know what?
She said I could have it.
I'm going to take this name tag, and you just set that prop right there, sister. That's what you do.
Nice.
But yeah, they are, they're at peak barrel capacity over there now because they're aging for 2018 BCS. Mm-hmm. And they gave us a tour of the place. That was cool. It's always cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty spectacular scene with, like, 15,000 barrels, apparently.
Jeez.
Obviously, most of them are BCS, and then they got the sister program, so a lot of wine stuff. They got some fooder action going on in there. Uh-huh. The thing I got excited about was that they're doing a mint chocolate BCS for St. Patty's Day in the tap room only, on St. Patty's Day only.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that sounded exciting. Still no word.
That's coming up.
Yeah. Like in 2 weeks, yeah. Right? Yeah, so that ought to be cool. Yeah, and this is something that they do, like, in the keg. They got, like, a couple six barrels, and they just do it in a keg.
So, like, old school Phobab days where they would show up with strawberry and Neapolitan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like there might have been a mint chocolate chip one.
There was one last year. This will be the second year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was excited to be there. It's weird because even though we're dismissive of 312 and the IPA while we're at it, you know, we were like, those beers are fine, but, you know, they're not on our radar. It's still really cool to be in this space, man. Yeah. They got a big budget, and they have a very artful way of playing with this cellar space.
Nice.
Right. So that's what I dug about that place. You know, it felt like you were in a wine. It's romantic the way a wine cellar is traditionally that way. You know, like we went to San Francisco for a couple of days, and I'm sitting in this winery, and I'm like, man, there is a sense of, like, I don't know how to describe it. It was just like really, like, really thoughtful and really, like, art-centric, like, functional space.
Oh, cool.
So,
okay.
You know, yeah. Oh, there's this winch system where they apparently they take a barrel, put it on its side, and then they're literally taking chains and dragging it up, and the barrel is sitting in these two leather straps. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it's the winch system, so we're tapping this just for you guys to try, and then we're going to put it back up to age.
Oh, okay.
So it's Bourbon County Rye for next year.
Ooh.
Which was, you know, I had never seen that before. Like, I've seen this barrel hanging out. I thought it was just, you know, a prop.
Yeah.
You know, just like a, yeah, so that was cool.
How was that?
Man, I forgot by the end of the night.
Okay, so it was good.
It was good. It was good. It was a good way to get started. Yeah. I always get excited about going over there, man. Oh, and then we left with a book.
Okay, what book?
Goose has a press company now. It's called Goose University.
Okay.
This is the first book from Goose University. This is it's called Urban Ingredients. It's the beers, the stories, flavors of the Goose Island Beer Company is the name of the book. So, like, Hunter Meter and, like, three other guys took all the pictures. And then their education lead, Miss Perosi, mm-hmm. She moved in from L.A. She's done, like, three books. And okay. She's, like, their education person. And apparently she edited it. And, neat. Yeah. So I guess it's beating the other book to the market, you know.
Because
there's a book from Josh from the Tribune.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, he's got a book, and I think it's called, like, Goose and How They Sold Out or something like that, right?
So they were like, we need that propaganda out before that book hits or something.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Those are my takeaways, man. The Wind System, Mint Chocolate BCS, that book, which has 220 color pages.
Yeah.
Nice book. And it's all about recipes and, you know, food and all that jazz. And then, yeah. And then just being in this private space, because this is the cool part about the Fisk & Company event was that, you know, Goat Catering is the collaborator for that space.
Uh-huh.
You roll up on there. I don't even think there's signage, and it's not open to the public. You know, it's a private event space. But the only option usually when you go there is, like, one of the three goat restaurants, because that's their baby.
Yeah.
So to be in there and have a different food was cool, too. So,
I know. That's nice.
Yeah. So mussels were on point, man. I was surprised by, like, the different variety of, like, flavors. You know, there's, like, you know, there's, like, curry mussels. It sounded weird, but they were curry and lime.
Curry mussels are good, yeah.
They're great. Yeah, there's
probably East. Probably the white wine classic.
And East and West Coast ones. And, you know, all these beers that Goose are pouring out, it's, like, built for this type of scene.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Man, it was great. So I'll probably just throw up, a full story on that one.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, great. Man, the dry hop 312, like, ragging out a little bit, but pick it up. Like, it's only, it's a Chicago-only release. Mm-hmm. Who knows what this might become? They may, like, you know, crank out more of it. They might do more in the future, but I'm sure it's a test right now. So give it a try now to see if it's worthwhile. They may do other variants, you know, and maybe they do, like, a Cascade Dry Hop one or, you know, just other stuff to kind of celebrate that.
And I'd like to try it again on its own, not in this lineup of five. I want to try it again. Mm-hmm. Because it was pleasant. What I had was pleasant. I was excited that, you know, because 312 and the IPA aren't made here. They're made at Budweiser facilities, mm-hmm. you know. So to have that going again, like making it here,
Yeah, I'm going to see if that's get some cans, and we'll try to open them on next week's episode and talk more about 312.
Right on. But cheers to the good folks at Fisk & Company. Yeah, they're going to have 25 beers on tap downtown, and they're a beer and oyster bar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else you hit up?
Man, that's the only thing I went to.
Okay. Well, we're drinking Maplewood here, and I made it up to Alarmist. And I say that, like, together because Alarmist did a beer with Maplewood.
Oh, okay.
Not too long ago. Like, right. They helped them get into that hazy New England IPA or New England Pale Ale.
Right.
Or is it a New England IPA.
New England IPA.
Helped them get into that, like, craze and kind of jump on that.
Oh, the Maplewood guys helped the Alarmist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool because there's actually, like, no matter how much we rag on the style or talk about how, like, everything's New England IPA, there's not a lot of it in Chicago.
Like, yeah, there's like a handful of crews that are doing it constantly.
But it's not, like, all you get in Chicago. Like, we talk about Revolution being, like, a mainstay tap handle, and, like, they don't have a New England IPA.
That's true.
And so, depending on where you're at, you may not see the style that often, but if you go somewhere else, like the West Coast or the East Coast, you kind of run into it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed, like, also, like, those bigger breweries, they don't, like, even this Goose one, which I was expecting to be a little hazy.
Yeah.
The bigger breweries don't really get involved with, like, super hazy beers. Like, where even Floyd's, Pipeworks, like, Stay Gold from Pipeworks, and the one from Floyd's and the Goose one, they only get so hazy. They won't go down that hazy rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, they spent so long and so much money trying to make it clear, right?
Exactly.
Kind of backwards for them. But anywho, on the Alarmist train here, I ended up having two of their New England IPA offerings. The first one was pretty typical. I'm, like, blanking on the name of it right now. It was a French name.
Phantasmagorza?
No.
No, I don't know. I was just throwing it out
there. Just throwing a name out there. That one was really good. And then I went for another one that was, like, Jurito or something like that. It was a Spanish name. They have a French beer name and a Spanish beer name. You got to stick with one. If you're going to have a language, you got English, and you can have one other one. You can't be mixing this up. This is confusing.
You got these Americans coming to your bar.
And they're drinking.
And they're like, the one time I went to Unani, he was like, which one beers do you want? I'm like, man, give me number one and number three. Because they had those crazy French names.
I just point. I'm like, I'll take, how do you say that? I'll take it. I'm not going to remember. So here we are now. I can't even talk about this beer. But I remember what was in it. It was a hazy New England IPA, but it had chili pepper, like pepper in it, cayenne pepper. So it was a spicy New England IPA. Huh. So it was, like, juicy and spicy. And first sip, I forgot that I'm not a big spicy beer fan.
It all came back to you though, after that sip.
I went for, give me that New England IPA. Oh, crap, it's spicy. Yeah. I have a whole glass now to drink, so I had to get a glass of water, and I ended up drinking the whole thing. It was a really good beer, but it has that, like, spicy burn. Like, you gotta like spicy beers to like a beer that has cayenne pepper in it. Like, it's tough.
I had a beer once from Stone, and it was called Pain. It was two of them. One was called Pain, and one was called, like, Punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was done with spicy beers after that. Like, it was...
Yeah, they are very good in small doses. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of those beers that you almost... I should have just got a taster or, like, a little 4-ounce pour of, because it was really good.
Like, they're interesting and good, but still, like, spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't quench your thirst. Like, it quenches your interest, and, like, you're like, ooh, that's different and fun. But when you're sitting there at the bar, you kind of want to, like, chill sometimes and just, like, be refreshed. And that beer was not doing it, although it was good. Like, it wasn't, like, anything wrong with it. It was just spicy.
Yeah.
So that was my fault, not Alarmist's fault.
So you were there. You guys recorded there before they opened. I want to say before they opened, right?
That was when they were still called Panic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Then they changed their name.
Forgot about the Panic phase with them.
Yeah. But the place was packed. They were having a band in doing, like, they do, like, rehearsals there every week. So it was busy. Like, there was hardly anywhere to sit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great.
Yeah. That's in the, on the far northwest side. Saugatuck?
Yeah, on Peterson. Looks like huge neighborhood spot, like a lot of people coming in. I saw a couple come in with some kids, and they looked around, and there was nowhere to sit. So I think they left, or they might have came back after, you know, the band started to play. Maybe they were there for that, and they weren't playing yet. But, yeah, that's how busy it was, that there was nowhere to sit, which is
that's cool, very cool though, for alarmists. Cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, they have a couple cask beers on. They're just doing a lot of stuff there, and you can take any of their beers to go. So they have the license to be, like, a beer store as well. So you can get growlers, crawlers, four-pack cans. Beer there. It's pretty nice.
Everything I've had from them so far, I've dug. Yeah, so good for them, and I'm glad they're doing all right.
Yeah, so get that New England IPA up there. All right, but that was the only thing I made it to this past week.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I went anywhere else. I don't think I did.
No, our Instagram was, it was slow.
Yeah. So
we need to make it out there, post more photos. We need more of you following us, Chicago Beer Pass on Instagram.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. So before we dive into what's happening this week, best thing you drank this week?
Man. It's a good one, Brad.
I'm going to say someone came over and we recorded something else over here, and they brought the Firestone Walker Lager. Like, it's just called Firestone Walker Lager. That thing hit the spot. Like, it was just, like, crisp, refreshing, clean, and all those adjectives you can use to describe. And it was just perfect. It was what you want on, like, a really hot day.
Yeah.
Like, and Firestone Walker, like, I love that DBA. I just had never picked up their lager. That was great. I know we were raving about this beer from
Maplewood,
but yeah, that was just like, this beer is really good. It may become like a mainstay this summer, but I was just kind of impressed by this lager on how like
right on
just hit the spot it was.
Right on. I was finishing up the photos for the Weinstefanen, that the oldest brewery in the world.
Yeah,
they sent like a six pack of their Hef. And I think that might have been the best thing I had this week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just considering, you know, like, this came from there.
Even better than Goose Island maple, not mint chocolate?
I didn't try the mint chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Prop 2014 was delicious. I thought the best beer.
Every week can't be prop.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was either the Weinstefanen or the, and I don't want to say Sophie, even though I think Sophie is sneaky underrated. I think Sophie is, like, I think Sophie's one of their better beers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Weinstefanen was pretty good. So I'm going to go with that.
Cool. So some surprises there from us, I think, for this week.
For sure. Yeah.
Cool. Well, this week, what do we got on the calendar?
Man, we're already into March. March 8th. That's Thursday. We got a couple of events. Peace is brewing. Peace is releasing their annual Moose Knuckle Barley Wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is barrel aged. 2017, sat in barrels for a year. It's being released on March 8th. This beer is so good, man. The first time I ever went to Peace, I got on stage at live band karaoke and started singing a Sunshine of Your Love, a Cream song.
After you drink some
of this? I had like three Moose Knuckles. I was like, give me this microphone.
Yeah, you don't have three Moose Knuckles and you don't have three Camel Toes.
That's how good that beer is. That's a fun ride. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, you've been on a barley wine kick too lately.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You should get on it.
I think Belligerent Bob I've had recently. I had BCS barley wine. You know, we were talking to the Goose, one of the Goose brewers, and he was excited about Bagal's barley wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, man. That missed me all the way. I can't even remember the name. I was like, huh.
Not Flannel Pajamas.
No, because I think that's the stout, right? That's the oatmeal stout.
Yeah,
he said he had their barley wine and was really taken aback by how good it was.
Nice.
So now that's on my radar now.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's Thursday. Also Thursday, Forbidden Root is turning 2 years old already, man.
Nice. Okay.
So their second anniversary bash at 5 p.m. on Thursday.
What are they doing?
They're partying, Brad.
Just partying.
That's what they're doing.
Just having, they have beer and they have food.
I don't have a lot of deets on that.
Okay.
They're just like, hey, come party.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, right on.
Then,
I'm good with, Sublimely Ginger. Mm-hmm. If you got that, if you want to roll like a double version of that for your anniversary,
yeah,
I would be happy.
A double burger, double Sublime Ginger.
Sublime Ginger is so good. That is so good.
In that same area, the West Town in Wicker Park, also Thursday at Bangers and Lace, is Canarchy. So this is with Cigar City,
right on.
Oscar Boulous, and Perrine.
Yeah.
So they're going to have...
they're all the same crew now.
Yeah, so they're all... they're all from Windy City too, under that distribution. So they're going to be hosting that event for Cigar City launching. And yeah, they'll have a whole bunch on tap. They'll even have more in cans. And yeah, it might be worth checking out. I know we went to mention last week, get out there for the Cigar City events. This could be a good one to check out.
Yeah, for sure.
Cigar City Cafe con Leche sounds pretty good. That's on the draft list.
That does sound good. I think, I had a beer from Cigar City at the FOB. Remember the FOBAB in 2010 where everybody came out with their recording equipment in Bridgeport?
Yeah.
There was one there. There was a peach IPA that sat on Cedarwood that they brought that was still, to this day, is something that I remember having. It was really nice.
Yeah, those Cedarwood beers that I don't think we're going to see here in Chicago. Those are the best. And
we're just going to see these... High Ally kegs for $280 a pop.
Yeah, High Ally, that's on draft. The Invasion. Yeah. This tap list is funny because they also have Yellow Pills from Oscar Blues on tap.
Oh, like, Mama's Yellow Pills.
I'm sorry, Bangers and Lace. That's not a beer draw these days. But you do you.
Is that rock and roll? We're going to say no. It is not.
Barrel aged Mama Lil's pills.
Oh yeah, because there's they threw one in tequila barrels one time.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, they have barrel aged 1050. So.
Ooh.
But that's Thursday, so that's three events Thursday.
Right. Damn. On. Should we jump into Friday?
Yeah, let's do it.
Shout out to the Empty Bottle. They're doing Dre Day on Friday. I don't know if you've ever been to Dre Day. This is not beer related at all. This is like a total side note.
Like Dr. Dre?
Like Dr. Dre, the producer. Yeah, straight out of Compton. Yeah. Every year, it used to be at, it used to be in Wicker Park. You know. Now it's going to be at the Empty Bottle. Yeah. It used to be at the place. What's the place that closed in Wicker Park? Double Door. It used to be at Double Door all the time.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
But he's Dr. Dre, so there's that. Right. Uh-huh. Oh, but Friday is Centennial's 1 year anniversary.
Centennial.
Yeah, so Centennial is the beer bar in River North. They snagged one of the chefs from Hopleaf.
Okay.
And Centennial is run by some guys that actually have ties to Founders Brewing, so they always have some really cool Founder stuff on. And
makes sense with the name.
Yeah, and there's always a permanent Centennial tap handle. I think if you're looking for like pure beer bars, you know, in River North, I think that's one of the essential ones for sure. Yeah, 1 year anniversary. They made a beer with Ale Man, who we had on the show last week. We had the beer on the show last week.
Yeah.
This one's called the Centennial Man that they made for those guys.
Oh, funny.
And then they're going to do KBS and swag giveaways and more for their 1 year anniversary.
Swag, get on it.
Yeah, so that is Friday. Up at Corridor, Squeeze It is back on Friday.
It's back like every week.
Back, dude. It was maybe 3 weeks, and that was it.
This is bullshit, Corridor. This is just on tap now.
Yeah.
Like.
And you know the drill, man. 104 packs, $18 a pop. Starts at 11 a.m. No distro. Brewery only.
You can't do a can release every 2 weeks and be like, come on out. This is awesome, right?
Yeah, you know, and I thought it changed. Like, the first time I had it, I was like, dude, this is everything. And then I went back for the second one, and it was different. It was different. So maybe this is redemption. Maybe this one's better than the last one. The last one was good, but was it badass like that first one? It was not.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So we'll see. Also Friday, Revolution, man. They're releasing the double dry hopped Galaxy Hero.
Nice. Okay.
I know that like all the Comic-Con and all that jazz is coming up pretty soon, and I think
C2E2.
I want to say Galaxy Hero was made for that, I believe.
I believe that's beginning of May.
That's in May.
End of April, beginning of May.
So double dry hop Galaxy Hero is coming out. They're gonna have like three different versions of that beer. One of them is with Galaxy and Citra. The other one they say is with Skyrocket.
That's a hop?
That can't be. Is that a hop? I mean, I don't know. It just says with Skyrocket, and it said limited batch. Sounds like it might be a hop.
Sounds like a drug.
Sounds like they're putting drugs in these goddamn beers. Yeah. Revolution.
I'm down, but
please let us know. Disclose what kind of drug this is. Also, Death by Raspberries on tap that day.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. So that was fun.
Was that one of the contestants for?
That was one of them.
Okay.
And I felt like it was too much raspberry.
Too much raspberry? No such thing, Brad.
You need to mix it with berry. Death by Berry.
Yeah, I remember this.
And
note.
Give Death by Berries a little more raspberry.
Yeah.
A little razz it up.
I know in my daily smoothie before I go to the office.
Okay.
I'm throwing raspberries in there.
Yeah.
And it makes everything better.
Yeah, you just have those little seeds that get stuck in your teeth sometimes. Yeah, that sucks. But that doesn't happen with the beer. Just so you know, you're not gonna get like seeds from the beer.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a short week, man. That's all I got for events, man.
All right. Well, cool. Then, how about some beer news? We got the events we went to, events coming up. Now we got some news happening.
Right on. Let's talk about the this Urban Matter article that I saw today. I don't know who the guys at Urban Matter are.
No.
But they the 6 most painfully hipster bars in Chicago.
Okay.
From Urban Matter. Should we run through this list, man?
Let's do it.
All right. Handlebar.
All right. I'm going to count. I think I've been to probably all 6 of these. Been there. Haven't been in a long time, and I forgot it even existed.
Shout out to Handlebar, a vegan bar that was once owned by the founder of Revolution. He had to sell it to start Rev because he couldn't have a bar and start a brewery at the time.
That's a rule?
Yeah. That was a rule back then.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. He's like, you can't own the bar and then do a brewery around the corner. What the fuck?
Damn.
So he sold.
Sold it to his wife or something like
that. Yeah.
Two brothers style. All right. Been to Handlebar.
Handlebar. The Burlington. The Burlington's on Fullerton. You know, the first time I saw Flostradamus was at Burlington. They were killing it. I'm like, who is this on the wheels? They're like, it's Flostradamus.
Okay, I haven't been to the Burlington.
Burlington, kind of weird. No windows at the Burlington. Emporium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scofflaw. That's the gin bar in Logan.
Great spot.
Great bar. Free cookies, like at midnight.
Uh-huh. And then 2 doors down, that Slashy. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty good Slashy?
Yeah.
All right. Ouija's Lounge.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been to Ouija's in a long time. It was it's a weird cocktail / beer bar.
Yeah.
Like, they make above average cocktails 6 years ago, and they had okay beer, but their draft lines were slightly questionable.
Yes.
That was how I would describe Ouija's. And they have shuffleboard.
Yeah. Very odd, sulfury smell. I lived a block from Ouija's
but
for
they
a long
have
time.
Like a crazy bottle list.
Crazy bottle list and shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Too. Ouija's. And then there's, of course, Maria's Package Goods down in Pilsen.
Okay. So yeah. I've been to 5 of the 6.
Yeah.
So I guess that doesn't qualify me as like super hipster here.
I mean,
you've been to them
all. I'm going to disagree because 5 out of 6.
I mean, you've been to them all, though.
I have been to these. But I happen to live by Ouija's. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. If I didn't live by Ouija's, I wouldn't have known it was there. Yeah, the dude was like, let me try his oatmeal stout. Like, he brewed at home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had they had, I don't know if they still do, they had a legal homebrew on. But it was like $4 suggested donation or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, because we're like, you can't charge for this. Really?
I love that that's a thing. And then, you know, they've been there for so long because, you know, that strip that they're on, it's kind of dangerous for a long time. It was a dangerous intersection.
It was a real weird, possibly shady, like Hispanic Mexican bar, like right across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never went in.
The Las Vegas nightclub is across the street.
I never have gone in, but I think Maeve went in to use the bathroom one time.
The Las Vegas nightclub across the street from, with no windows.
That place, I've never been in. It looks, I don't know if I'm coming out.
I'm not going in there. Yeah. Oh.
That place is more hipster than all.
It's true. They're slangy. All right. What's next on the news? Berghoff.
Okay.
Berghoff downtown is a restaurant that is their brewery as well.
Yeah.
But they're introducing a 10-barrel system this summer at that location.
Cool.
Now, a lot of people don't know Berghoff. They got the first liquor license in Chicago. So when you go to Berghoff restaurant, liquor license number 1 is Berghoff's license. So they sold the rights to sell beer a long time ago. So they were making beer I believe they started making beer at the restaurant, but then they started making it up in Wisconsin and then sold the rights. So they still make beer, but it's forgettable beer and it's made in fucking Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So, but they're making a comeback and they're going to do a 10 barrel system this summer in that same location. It's a 143-year-old restaurant downtown. The thing about this brewery though, is that they're not going to be able to name it Berghoff because they sold the name.
Wait, the brewery, so the restaurant's called Berghoff, but then the brewery won't be called Berghoff.
Correct.
What's the brewery going to be called?
They haven't announced it yet.
The Berg?
The Berg would be good. I guess it'd be like, there's some places like that where, remember the Mad Mouse and Mad Mouse was the name of the restaurant, and then the brewery had a different name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like it'll be something like that. Yeah, so another brewery.
Okay. Brian Simcoe used to brew for Berghoff for like a minute.
I didn't know that.
Blue Island, Brian.
Right on. Cool. So cheers to those guys. I wonder how that's going to work out. Yeah, they're going to make an ode. It's an ode to German-style lagers. Yeah.
Well, another downtown brewery is pretty nice, especially for tours.
Because when you look at like pure downtown, the only breweries downtown are Rock Bottom and Eataly. Eataly has a brewery on the second floor.
And then Haymarket is like just
outside.
Yeah.
West Loop is popping. There's a hotel. I saw a hotel today going up in West Loop. All right, let's talk about President Donald Trump.
Okay.
The only president with no military or elected office experience and the oldest fucking president ever.
He's got bone sprints, man. He can't be like doing stuff.
He's probably also got dementia. But anyway, Donald Trump has this tariff, right? It's a steel and aluminum tariff.
Yeah.
It says, hey, if you import steel or aluminum, 10%, because we're trying to get steel and aluminum in America to be used, right?
Yes.
So a lot of folks have a problem with this, especially the beer industry specifically, because their argument is we're using as much American aluminum as we can, and that's why we're sourcing from outside the country.
Right.
Right. So so this is where we are. And, I could overlook a lot of things that this guy was doing. But if you talk to the Beer Institute is saying, hey,
this is where you draw the line.
This is it for me.
Where Nick draws the line.
I'm like,
we're going to go back to bottles now.
Can somebody please do something about this guy? The Beer Institute.
Well, he doesn't drink. He doesn't care.
Oh, my God. He's the worst. I'm getting so emotional. I feel myself sweating. The Beer Institute says that this could cost the beer industry over 20,000 jobs and over $340 million that they're going to have to pass off to consumers because they're buying all their aluminum out of country.
A lot of the brewing systems that people use too are from China.
Oh shit! And those are steel.
Yeah, those are steel. I know Haymarket system. They talked about picking it up. I believe Alarmist got it from like Washington State, which could possibly be American steel, but it could be coming from Canada because we get most of our steel aluminum from Canada, really.
Yeah.
Not from China.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that's a different country, so that would have a tariff, it sounds like.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, the aluminum's a 10% tariff, and then the steel's like a 30% tariff.
Yeah, that's all if that happens, right?
Yeah, that's if that happens. So beverage makers are asking for a waiver. They're saying, hey, we need the aluminum, and the aluminum that's coming in from out of another country isn't a security threat. And I think that was one of the other reasons why we needed this tariff.
A security threat on metal?
Aluminum.
All right.
I was like, reminds me of a Dave Chappelle skit. Like, do you know what aluminum can do? Aluminum.
Crazy. All right. I have too many opinions on all of this for this podcast.
Yeah, we don't even have enough beer to deal with this guy.
All right. But hopefully we don't. I can't be paying Mars prices for all my beer.
Man.
What's Mars going to charge for their beer?
After this aluminum tariff?
Yeah. $30 for a 4-pack of Mars beer.
That lager? Let me get that. No problem. 30. City of Chicago turned 181 this week.
Okay.
Yeah. That was on March 4th, so that's awesome. The good folks at Big Star are hosting another Pappy Van Winkle tasting.
Ooh.
Now, this is the real deal, Brad. Julian Van Winkle himself will be there, and there's going to be cocktails, heavy appetizers, and only room for 50 guests. So they announced this today for a March 22nd party, and it's from 6:30 to 9. Oh, but you get to try them all, man. 12-year, 15-year, 20-year, and 23-year Pappy with this $125 ticket.
I would say that's not bad.
You know, I'm in. As soon as Brad let me borrow $125, I'm going to do
well,
that.
Yeah, as soon as, it's not my money. I'm totally in, too.
Chicago Ale Fest, summer edition. Tickets went on sale for that this week. They have a special discount code. That'll be in Grant Park on June 1st and 2nd. The special discount code is Chicago. If you use that now, you'll get $15 off of your ticket. Sounds cool. Pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Tickets are usually like $50 or something.
Yeah. That's cool.
So that's pretty good. We talked about the Day and Night of Living Ales. The champion beer for 6% and under was Imperial Oak.
Okay.
So cheers to those guys. Will County Brewing down in Shorewood, Illinois. They're having their opening day this weekend.
Oh, okay.
March 10th.
Haven't heard about them. Will County.
And shout out to the painfully hipster gin bar in Logan Square, Scofflaw, as they turn 6 this week. They're throwing a 6th anniversary party.
So many cookies will be had at Scofflaw that night.
All the cookies. That's it, man. That's all
that's
I got
it.
For this.
That's it for this week's episode, then. Cool. Whew.
Dude, did we go 40 minutes?
We got 40 minutes. This is we had a lot to talk about. And we didn't even talk about steel long enough. But let's get out of here before we ramble on much longer. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube version. Mention the Instagram. Check us out there. Give us a follow. Like our photos because they are really good photos.
Man, like I would
probably
drink to
the
that.
Best beer photos on Instagram.
True. Yeah.
And then our Facebook page. We post other events. We post other photos that aren't Instagram quality. You know, they don't meet our standards, so they get posted on Facebook. that'll do it. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some dry hop 312. Take care.
Cheers.